Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Sword and Shield Show. This is Catherine Resendez. Thank you for tuning in. Let's begin with a great scripture verse that speaks about the grace and mercy of God, about the throne of grace. That's found in Hebrews 4:16. It's one of my favorite. And so this verse says, therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Is there something you're looking for help with at this moment? I'm always looking for something. I'm always looking for something. I'm always praying, asking the Lord for something, either for myself or someone else. Today, I'd like to talk about healing. Can we be healed? I certainly have some things I would like to be healed of and other things I would like to be delivered from, in a sense, healed as well. Of course, there are different types of healings. We might want to be healed from some physical ailment or injury, some type of disease. We might have some emotional issue. So we may ask the Lord for a healing from something physical, emotional, or spiritual. And I believe the Lord tells us that one day we all will be healed, each and every one of us, if we are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, if we believe that God exists, that Jesus is the Son of God, and that He is one with God. If we are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, that one day we will be with Him in heaven. So we'll leave our old body behind, all our illnesses, all our ailments, all the problems we will leave behind when our soul leaves our body. Our soul will be with Christ Jesus in heaven to live with Him for all eternity, and we will have a new body in heaven. We will be spirits like God, who is also spirit. When I think about that, I think about how many of us are praying, asking to be healed, those of us who believe that there is a God, and that many of us are praying to different gods. I believe that there is only one real God, but there are many religions in the world, many different belief systems. So many of us have a really completely different worldviews. And I wonder how many people really feel, really believe that they are going to, that there is an afterlife, that there is a heaven and a hell. I know that many people say they don't believe there is such a thing as heaven or hell. And whether we believe it or not doesn't change the fact that it exists. I do believe there's a heaven and a hell. And I believe that when we die, our souls, if we are believers of Christ, if we are followers of Christ, I believe that our souls, our spirits will immediately go to be with Christ. And so I would like to encourage anyone who's listening, who is wondering about that, anyone who is suffering in pain, whatever kind of ailment or injury you have, or emotional pain or suffering, I'd like to encourage you that there is always hope and you should never give up. As long as there is breath in your lungs, there is hope. I'd like to encourage you, invite you. Of course, each of us has to make our own decisions. So I would like to invite you to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Later, I'm going to be reading from the scriptures. And we will say a short prayer as well. If you have a Bible, I hope you'll take it out and read along with me. Again, today I want to talk about healing. Can we be healed? Does God still heal people miraculously today? I believe that He does. I believe that anything is possible for God if it's not contrary to his will and his character, because he is holy and he cannot look upon sin. But I want to refer to some information published by the Christian Broadcasting Network regarding that question, can I be healed, and what the Bible says about it. The Lord teaches in the Bible that we can be healed. There are so many accounts in the Bible in which Jesus healed people. And he talks about that in the scriptures, about healing us and being healed. You may remember, if you've heard anything about the Bible, if you've ever read it, or if you've attended a church that teaches the Word of God from the Bible, there are many different denominations that believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. Many that believe that there is a God, even though they don't believe in Jesus, many people believe that we can be healed and that God healed people in the past and that he still can today. Of course, the Lord gave us physicians and medications so he can heal us through medicine, through treatment as well. I want to begin with a verse from Ephesians 3:20b. And basically, the information I'm reading from a pamphlet, a writing from Pat Robertson, says that while doctors and medicine are a gift of God, and he certainly uses them, he certainly uses them to bring healing, his power is infinitely greater than any human wisdom or prescription. In fact, he is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. That's from Ephesians 3:20b. Throughout the Bible, God encourages us to call upon him for healing. He tells us in Exodus 15:26, I am the Lord who heals you. And we call him Jehovah Rapha because he is the God of healing. In Psalms 103, verses 2 to 3, it says, praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Pat Robertson goes on to say that some think that miracles no longer occur, citing 1 Corinthians 13, verses 8 through 10, however, this passage refers to the return of Jesus Christ. When he comes again, we will no longer need prophecies or tongues or miracles because we will be in his presence. Until then, the anointing of power and gifts of the Holy Spirit are readily available to help us in every situation. You may know someone else who needs healing. I'd like you to let them know that they should never give up, that there is always hope if they put their hope and their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John give numerous accounts of how Jesus healed people of serious infirmities and illnesses, including blindness, deafness, leprosy, seizures, and paralysis. By the way, leprosy still exists today. There are people in the world today who still have leprosy. Now, I don't know if there's a different type or if it's still as severe as it was in those days when Jesus walked the earth, but I do know that people today in other countries still suffer from leprosy. And now, Jesus even raised people from the dead. He brought people back to life. Notice the word all in Matthew 8, 16b. It says, he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. He then carefully prepared the disciples to perform these very same miracles. In Luke 9, 1b to 2, it says, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He indicated that miracles were a sign that the kingdom of God was at hand, saying, "As you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons." That's Matthew 10, verses 7 through 8. And at the Last Supper, knowing that he would die within hours, Jesus wanted to impart some final words and encouragement to his friends. He said, "I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father." John 14:12-13. Jesus then repeated this bold pledge for emphasis. "You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." That's verse 14. John, a disciple who personally heard Jesus say this, later wrote, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that we ask, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him." That's 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 through 15. It goes on to say, "By his suffering and crucifixion, Jesus once and for all won our salvation, forgiveness, healing, and eternal life." Pat Robertson writes, 1 Peter 2:24 says, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed." Now that's the King James Version, which says, "By whose stripes ye were healed." In this, Jesus fulfilled the prophetic words of Isaiah 53, verses 4 through 5. "Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed." In the book of Hebrews, in chapter 12, verse 2, there's great encouragement here. It says to us, "Fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Through his resurrection, we have new life." Romans 8:11 says, "And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you." And just before ascending into heaven, Jesus promised his disciples that the Holy Spirit would come upon them, empowering them to continue his ministry in the world. You should read Acts 1:8. This was first fulfilled on the days of Pentecost. That's recorded in Acts 2:1 through 4. And the same Holy Spirit is available for us today. Hebrews 13:8 tells us, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever." Yesterday and today and forever. What he did before, he continues to do today. He can certainly still heal today. God is pouring out his Holy Spirit in our day and our age, in this time. All we need to do is ask. Of course, the Lord heals whom he pleases. Very importantly, healing is among the supernatural gifts of the Spirit listed in 1 Corinthians 12:9. We need to have faith in God. We need to have faith when we pray to him. We need to have our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot have faith on our own. Even that is a gift from God. even faith as a gift from God. We need to trust by faith, take him at his word, and believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he is God, that he is the all-powerful, holy God, and he can do anything that is not contrary to his will. And James 5:14 through 16 gives instructions about healing. It says, "Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective." Jesus said, "When you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins." That's in Mark 11:25. Do you ever read the Bible? If you are a believer, a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you should read his word every day. We are to read his word to draw closer to him so that he can draw closer to us. We are to study and meditate on his word to develop our relationship, to grow in our personal intimate relationship with him. The Lord Jesus communicates with us. God communicates with us in his word. There is power in the word of God. He tells us it's alive and active. And he really does speak to us in the word, in the Bible, his holy scriptures. When we're looking for answers, when we don't know which way to go, when we have important decisions to make, we can ask the Lord to lead us and guide us, because he says that he will guide us with his eye upon us. He says that he will never leave us nor forsake us, and he will instruct us in the way that we should go. We need to ask him, trusting that he will lead us. Sometimes it's very difficult to understand what he wants us to do, but if we are honestly seeking him, seeking to do his will, his way, and his timing, he will lead us and guide us. He will let us know what is the right thing to do. We know what's right and wrong. Each one of us knows what's right from wrong. But many times we can be confused about what choice to make. But God is not a God of confusion. Confusion comes from Satan. God is a God of order and decency. And he doesn't make things complicated. If they're very complicated, maybe we shouldn't be involved in them. Because the Lord wants us to know what to do. He says he gives us wisdom. We just have to ask for it. We need to seek him constantly, to pray constantly. And that doesn't mean to repeat the same prayers over and over and over again. It means to pray about everything. We can pray throughout our day about each thing that we encounter throughout the day, giving him praise, praising him, thanking him for what we have, for his provision, for choosing us to serve him, asking him for his instruction, for his direction, and he promises to let us know what we should do. We have to be quiet and listen and give him the opportunity to respond. When we pray, when we read the Bible, we need to set aside quiet time to spend with the Lord, to devote to him, to give him our full attention so that he can speak to our hearts. He speaks to us by the power of his Holy Spirit who lives in us. His spirit speaks to our spirit. He can speak to us through other people as well, through circumstances, through the things that are happening around us. But he will never tell us to do anything that's contrary to his will. So we need to be careful. And again, we need to pray and ask for wisdom. And we need to believe him. We need to trust him. He says that we need to seek him, to ask him, We need to knock. He says, keep on seeking, keep on asking, keep on knocking. Matthew tells us in Matthew 7:7, it says, Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. And the original Greek, according to Pat Robertson and many, if not all, the pastors I have ever heard preach, it says that in the Greek, the original Greek, the verb means ask and keep on asking, and seek and keep on seeking, and knock and keep on knocking. So not only once, but you continue to do it. And then Jesus says, for everyone who asks, seeks. For everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. He illustrated this principle in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verses 5 through 8, with a parable he told of a man who kept knocking on his neighbor's door during the night until he received the bread he urgently needed. Because he kept knocking, he persisted, he didn't give up. The neighbor finally got up and gave him what he wanted. The Lord tells us so many things in the Bible that we need to take by faith. Sometimes it can be difficult to put our faith in anything that anyone else says. But here we're talking about the Lord God Almighty, the Creator God. I don't know if you believe that Jesus Christ is Jehovah God, the Creator God. Many people do not. We each need to make our own choices, our own decisions. I happen to believe that I am a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm thinking of Mark chapter 11, verses 22 to 24. When the disciples saw Jesus curse a fig tree, and it withered just overnight, Jesus said to them, when they asked him about it, have faith in God. God is the source of everything, our life, our hope, our provision, our healing, and our future. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Now, of course, the Bible speaks in many metaphors. And so a mountain can be whatever obstacle you're facing that's preventing you from achieving or acquiring what you're seeking. Let's go over to James. In the first chapter of James, verses 6 through 7, he tells us, but when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He says we need to have faith. I remember thinking many times in the past that I could never have enough faith. But Jesus said it doesn't take a lot. He said if we had faith as big as a mustard seed, that was enough. And a mustard seed is very, very tiny. He tells us that even if we have no faith, that he is faithful. God is faithful even when we are not. But he wants us to step out in faith, to take action and trust him for what we're believing him for, to trust him and not lose our faith. He gives us, God gives us, what we call spiritual weapons of warfare, the whole armor of God, to practice putting those on to protect ourselves from Satan, from the evil one who comes to steal and kill and destroy, who wants to take away everything that the Lord gives to us, who puts temptations in our mind, including doubt, because he doesn't want us to put our faith and our trust in the Lord. He wants to rip us off from everything. That's his job. He's the enemy of God because he's lost. He's lost the gift of eternal life for everything because of his sin, because he rebelled against the Lord. And so he doesn't want us to have it either. But the Lord does give us the full armor of God. You will see that if you read Ephesians chapter 6. Because he tells us that the battle that's going on in the world, the battle between good and evil, that is what's called spiritual warfare. And why? Because it's a spirit world. God is spirit. Satan, the devil, is spirit also. There are such things as evil spirits. There are demons. They are the fallen angels, those who rebelled against God. They have power. Satan has power in the world. He's called the prince of this world. And he's fighting against us always. He attacks us in our minds. The battlefield where the spiritual warfare is going on is in our minds. Satan puts temptations in our minds. He's the one who tempts us to sin. He cannot force us to do anything because the Lord has given us free will. But he can tempt us. We have to choose whether we're going to give in to him and follow through and take part in the temptation and commit the sin, or if we're going to fight against it. And God tells us we can fight against that. We can reprogram our minds in the Word of God so that we don't give in to the sin. We can have healing in our minds. We can be delivered from the power of sin by the Word of God, by the power of God, because His Holy Spirit lives within us. The power of the Holy Spirit, which lives within us, is the power of Jesus Christ, the same power, the power of God, which raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And he tells us we can counteract, overcome the temptations of the devil to sin. I encourage you to read Ephesians 6. I can tell you what it says. You can form it into a prayer. You can just read it directly from the Bible. But it tells us to put on the whole armor of God to protect ourselves from Satan and all evil. We can stand in the gap for our loved ones, which I do. I stand in the gap. I say, Lord Jesus, Lord Jehovah God, I put on the whole armor of God to protect myself from Satan and all evil. And I stand in the gap for my loved ones, and I name them. You can name your family members one by one, or just say, my household, my family, my relatives, my friends. I name them one by one, and then include other people and saying so-and-so in their household, or my friends and neighbors, all those I'm in, every kind of partnership, friendship, alliance, and association with in every area of my life, in work, in education, in ministry, even in your entertainment, whatever your hobbies are, you can include those people and put on the whole armor of God to protect them. So what the Lord tells us to do basically is to put on the belt of truth so that we can walk in truth, honesty, and integrity with him. We can put on the helmet of salvation, which he gives us at the moment that we receive him as our Lord and Savior. So we put on the helmet of salvation to protect our thoughts so we can think on godly thoughts, on good things, things that are true and not on evil and negative things. We can put on the the breastplate of righteousness to protect our hearts, our feelings, and our emotions so that we can make sound, right choices, judgments, and decisions without giving into our feelings, without allowing our emotions to interfere with our making right choices. And so we take up the shield of faith. That is our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to protect us from Satan's schemes and strategies, from his tactics like fear, anxiety and worry, doubt, denial and deceit. All of those things that Satan tempts us with. Pridefulness, selfishness, self-centeredness, gossip, all of those things. Those are all temptations from Satan. So we can use our faith, our shield of faith, our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, to help us ward off those things and to make right choices and decisions to decide not to give in to the sins. And I'm not saying that it's easier, of course, but the Lord helps us. He says he always gives us a way of escape. And so when we shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, we cover ourselves with the gospel of peace so that we can live in peace. Make the effort to live in peace with all the brethren, all the believers, and to try to live in peace with everyone else as much as it is possible for us if they are willing to live in peace with us. If they are not willing to live in peace with us, then we can put distance between us to avoid conflict and to avoid committing sin. And the Lord gives us the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures. So then we take up the sword of the Spirit and thank him for it. Lord God, I thank you for giving us the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, the good news of the Holy Spirit, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, the Scriptures. And we need to tell other people about it. God protects us with his Word. We can find truth in his word. The word of God is truth. And so we are protected in that we don't have to give in to Satan's lies and deceit. Whatever we hear, we can test by the word of God. We can read the word of God to find the truth. We can search the scriptures to see if what we heard from someone else is backed up by the Word of God. And if it's not, we know it isn't from God, because the Word of God is truth. So if we heard something that's contrary to the Word of God, then we know it's a lie and it's from Satan. So these are called spiritual weapons of warfare. And we should put those on in a prayer every morning to protect us. He tells us to put it on and then to stand, because the Lord does the work for us. Jesus is our champion in battle. He fights the war for us. But we are to be aware and put on the Word of God, put on the whole armor of God, reprogram our minds in the Word of God. For example, he tells us when we are afraid, fear is from Satan. Sometimes it's good to be afraid, but sometimes we are afraid of things we should not be. And Satan causes us to fear to prevent us from doing many things that the Lord calls us to do. So in that instance, the Lord tells us to counteract that with love. And for that, you should read 1 John 4:18 to see what the Lord tells us there. And for anger, instead of being angry, giving in to anger, unproductive anger, unrighteous anger, we should counteract that with patience, and you can read about that in 1 Timothy 2:24. And for regret and shame, we should replace that with God's forgiveness instead of having regret and shame. Replace that with God's forgiveness. Forgive the person that we have regret and anger and shame and unforgiveness against. That's in Acts 3:19. We are to forgive others. Because the Lord forgives us, God has forgiven us. And when we're feeling that we want revenge, then we are really vulnerable. Satan will come to attack us. When we want revenge, when we're holding grudges and we want to get back at someone, Satan is tempting us there. And that gives the evil one, that gives Satan a point where he can come in and attack us spiritually. So we need to forgive and let go of it, so then Satan has nothing to hold on to come after us. We need to forgive instead of wanting revenge, because the Lord says vengeance is his. read Matthew chapter 6, Matthew 6, 14 and 15. And he talks about the sin of hateful talk. Instead of practicing that hateful talk or gossip or anything of the sort, we need to encourage other people instead of being critical and judgmental. So read Ephesians chapter 4 and see what it has to say about that. And rage, we need to give up rage. When we let our anger become rage, it's very dangerous. And we need to practice self-control. Please read about that in Colossians 3, 8 through 11. And remember, the Lord says that his power is perfected in our weakness. When we are intent in having power of our own, when we insist on being in control, we are sinning against God. We're to rely on God's power. He is in control. And he gives us important information about that in Ephesians chapter 6. I encourage you to read Ephesians 3:16. And then now, talking again about healing, the Lord can heal us anytime he chooses. And we will never know this side of heaven why God chooses to heal some of us here physically and not others. But then he is God, and we have no right to try to judge him. We can ask for healing and ask for his will, just as Jesus asked to be delivered from something when he was praying, asking the Lord to take that cup of suffering from him. He didn't want to be separated from the Father. But he prayed that the Father's will would be done and not his. So we should always pray and ask the Lord for what we want, but we should ask it in Jesus' name. We should ask for it according to his will. And let him decide what he wants to give us. He may have something better for us, even though we can't imagine that. He has a reason for everything that he allows in our lives. If you are praying for healing for someone else, I encourage you to ask for his will in that. And so now I want to invite you to pray a short prayer with me. If you would like to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, as your Lord and Savior, and know that you will be with him in heaven, will you read this short prayer with me? Or recite this short prayer with me, I should say. Lord Jesus, I want to know that I can be with you in heaven when I die. So, Lord, I admit that I'm a sinner and that I cannot save myself. I know that I need a Savior. And I trust by faith, Lord Jesus, that you are the Savior. I repent of my sins, ask you to forgive me and to be Lord and Savior of my life. I trust that you died on the cross to pay the debt for my sins and that you rose again from the dead, that you live in heaven and in the hearts of those who follow you, and ask you to live in my heart too. I want to live for you, Lord Jesus. And so now what you should do is to join a church that teaches directly from the Bible, read the Bible every day and do what it says, pray to Jesus from your heart, and tell other people about him so that they can be saved too. Until next time, I pray that you will come to know the love, the peace, and the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember the throne of grace and mercy. He says, therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. If you're needing healing today, physical, mental, or emotional, ask Jesus to heal you. Ask according to his will. Again, you're listening to the Sword and Shield Show. I'm Catherine Resendez. Tell other people about Jesus and tell them what he does in your life as he changes you. May God bless you.